Heichal Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 65 in the series entitled The Tragedy of Sin, Part 2. This class was recorded live at Heichal Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 26th of Adar, 5759.
Of Dalet, the 24th chapter of Tanya. In the previous classes, we came to learn what the Alter Rebbe explains, that the cardinal principle of reality, the basic principle that underlies and is the sum total of all of reality, is Yichud Hashem, Achdus Hashem, Hashem's unity. Which means that from the Alter Rebbe's perspective, a substitute word for the term reality is Achdus Hashem, Hashem's unity. Why is this? For not only, as he discussed in chapters 20 and 21, does the world have no ego of its own. It does not have a reality independent of the divine creative energy that creates it, animates it, grants it identity, form, design, content, and so forth. And as he discussed at length, as he discussed briefly in chapter 20, that due to the fact that the world is yesh meyayin, something from nothing, where the something cannot be identified, its properties cannot be found within the nothing. It's something absolutely and unequivocally new. Therefore, at every moment of its existence, it is dependent upon the energy of its creator to grant it life and vitality. And from this we also understand that it has no reality independent of that reality of its creator. So therefore, the world as an autonomous being separated from the Dvar Hashem, from the speech of Hashem, the words of Hashem that bring it into being, simply does not exist. A perception of the world being independent of its creator is an erred perception. It's a diversion. It's a distortion of the very nature of what is going on in the rhythm of life. In addition to that, there is something even deeper that Alter Rebbe went on to explain. And that is, not only does it not have a reality independent of the Dvar Hashem, but the words of Hashem are always submerged, included, totally united and one with their source. In other words, in the terms the Alter Rebbe used, the speech never left the speaker. The speech is always submerged and all included and encompassed within the essence of the speaker, never detached or disconnected from it. And therefore, the relationship of the world, which is nothing but the expression and the realization of the divine speech is that same relationship between the words of a man and his intimate self, which brings us to the conclusion that the entire reality from Hashem's perspective, which means from reality's perspective, is kula kamei keloi chashev. It's as if it's non-existent. It's as if it's non-existent. And therefore creation has not compromised even one iota Hashem's achdus. And if you want to know what reality is, the Alter Rebbe says reality is achdus Hashem, the unity of Hashem. But the concealment of the above-mentioned truths allows for an erred perception of reality. Since the concealment exists in various forms, from the most translucent concealment to the most opaque concealment, from the most subtle concealment to the most vulgar and coarse concealment, hence all the various philosophies and perspectives on creation. Every concealment produces another philosophy. So every human being has his or her perspective on what reality is, on its relationship with God, or it's not or the lack of its relationship with God, chas v'shalom. And our history and civilization has produced throughout the ages myriads and myriads of philosophies, perspectives, systems on reality. So the Alter Rebbe explains that since the concealments are so various, are so many, and exist in so many gradations and ranks and levels and forms, each concealment produces another type of perception of what reality is. So there are multifaceted, multi-layers perception of reality, lower and lower on lower, based on every descent of the concealment. Torah and mitzvahs, from the Alter Rebbe's perspective, is restoring reality back to itself. In chapter 23, introduced to us the concept that Torah and mitzvahs is the philosophy, the perspective, the system that's in touch with reality, with real reality. Because Torah and mitzvahs are the intimate, internal will of Hashem. So on the most basic level, a life of Torah and mitzvahs is a life which declares and affirms the total unity and connection of the world with its creator. And since they are the intimate will of Hashem, they are not characterized, they were not impacted by any type of concealment. So the learning of Torah, the observing of mitzvahs, the life of Torah and mitzvahs is the affirmation of the real reality. It's restoring reality back to itself. It's getting rid of the distortions, the disruptions of the true rhythm of life. To the other extreme, in Perek Chav Dalet, Alter Rebbe continued, the greatest disruption, the greatest distortion and violation of the true nature and rhythm of reality and life is in the event of sin, in the event of an Aveira, which means an act, a word, or a thought that Hashem has deemed as the antithesis of His will. For in this experience of an Aveira, Hashem's will, His desire, is being combated actively. And thus, total separation between the world, between that dynamic and Hashem, is being introduced through an Aveira. An act, a performance, is being performed which declares and creates a statement that violates and disrupts in the deepest way reality, which is Achdus Hashem. This, says the Alter Rebbe, is the most devastating thing you can do to reality. Alienate it from itself. Detach it. Disconnect it from what it is. Now, in every Aveira, there are various components. First of all, there's the act being performed. There is the object with which the act is being performed. There is the human being and his energy or her energy involved. All of them, the Alter Rebbe said in the beginning of the chapter, have now become partners in perpetuating the illusion and the delusion of a reality divorced from itself, which means a reality divorced from Hashem. All of them have become engaged in the disruption of this reality in the most extreme way, perpetuating this illusion, hence the tragedy of a sin, as the Alter Rebbe brought out in the beginning of the chapter. In this sense, he emphasized, every Aveira, every transgression, is in essence a form of Avodah Zarah, of idolatry. Why? Because every Aveira is a denial and an active declaration against Hashem's oneness and unity. And in the most powerful way. Because there are various declarations in this world against Hashem's unity. But the most powerful, extreme, passionate, and active combat and declaration against Hashem's unity is in the Aveira experience. And from this perspective, all transgressions and Aveiros are identical. From the seemingly most stringent transgression to the seemingly most lenient transgression, all of them share the same common tragic feature, being a form, an expression, a projection of Avodah Zarah, of idolatry, a cry out loud against Hashem's unity, which means a cry out loud against reality. The Baal Shem Tov interprets the statement of our sages in the Mishnah, Havizayir b'mitzvah kala kevachamura, which means you should be cautious in the performance of a lenient mitzvah, just as you're cautious in the performance of a stringent mitzvah. So Zohir literally means be cautious, be careful. The Baal Shem Tov interprets it Zohir from the term Zohar, which means splendor, Milashin Zohar va'or, splendor, light, energy. And Chassidus explains, that's what the Baal Shem Tov says briefly. So in Chabad literature is explained, Havi Zohir b'mitzvah kalik v'chamor, what does the Alter Rebbe mean? What does the Baal Shem Tov mean? When you're in touch with the energy, when you're in touch with the energy of the universe, then a mitzvah kala is identical to a mitzvah chamura. So the Mishnah is not only telling us a command, be cautious. As Chassidus interprets it, as the Baal Shem Tov sees it from the deeper, from his lenses, from his perspective, this is also an explanation. Why should you be so cautious about a mitzvah kala like a mitzvah chamura? Have a zayir. You have to first learn about the energy of life. You have to first learn about reality. You have to learn about Achdus Hashem. When you learn about what reality is, so then the mitzvah kala and the mitzvah chamura are identical from that perspective. And then the other extreme, that all Aveiros are really an expression of Avodah Zarah. Because Avodah Zarah does not mean the denial of Hashem's existence, it means a declaration of Hashem's unity, of Hashem's oneness. And every Aveira, every transgression, violation of Hashem's will is a perpetuation of that philosophy, of that perspective, which from the Alter Rebbe's perspective, from the Alter Rebbe's view, is a totally errant perception that can come into existence only as a result of the most coarse concealment, which concealment by definition is a cover-up of truth. Obviously, this perception only exists relative to the audience, to the creatures, the creator who has imposed the concealment, or partially imposed this concealment. A lot of it is perpetuated and added and increased by the human race. From his perspective, the concealments don't exist, and therefore the unity always remains identical, notwithstanding any act or misact that man does. So in essence, you can say that from this perspective, the purpose of creation would be to try to create some peace between the speaker and his audience. To try to create a situation, an experience where the audience gets the message from the speaker, is in touch with what he's trying to say and do, and the speaker actually gets his message over to his audience. Now let's continue inside. We are on Daf Lamed Amid Beis, page 60, four lines from the bottom. Seven lines from the bottom, at the words "Umasha pikuach nefesh deicha shar averus." Everyone knows that from the Alter Rebbe's perspective, there can never be a schism, a partition between the mystical elements of Torah and the revealed elements of Torah. Although among various sages and scholars in Jewish history, there was that partition, and there was the struggle of the reconciliation between the Kabbalistic view of things and sometimes, apparently, the halachic view of things. And a lot of our literature deals with the reconciliation and the confrontation and the inevitable apparent combats and problems in the confrontation between these two systems. One of the chief, one of the most important, I think, achievements of the Alter Rebbe, both in his personal life and in his philosophical system, is a system that synthesizes in the most powerful and beautiful way the mystical and the halachic streams of Torah into a unified, comprehensive program for life. Every discourse of his, every essay of his, is a perpetuation of that synthesis and a development of that unity. So when the Alter Rebbe here develops this theme, based obviously on the Kabbalistic and Hasidic perspective of what reality is, of what Hashem's unity means, and as a result of that, he explains what Torah and Mitzvahs is from Chassidus' perspective. This, from his view, must hold true on every level of Jewishness, on every level of Torah learning and observance. Hence the following question. Now here, one may ask a question. Everyone knows that pikuach nefesh, the principle of saving a life, overrides all other prohibitions besides the prohibition of Avodah Zarah. V'gam yaver v'al yaharik, so to the law, calls for one to commit a transgression rather than be killed. This is true concerning most averus of the Torah, but three. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that concerning all of transgression, all transgressions, yaver v'al yaharik, if it's an issue of life and death, God forbid, one yaver, one should transgress the Hashem's will, v'al yaharik, he should not be killed. The principle of saving a life overrides all other considerations, excluding three averus, avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shfichas damim. Idolatry, adultery, and murder. But all other averus are overrided by the consideration of saving a person's life. This would seem that the Torah itself, halacha itself, distinguishes in a very serious way between avodah zarah and every other aver. Whereas avodah zarah, an outright denial of Hashem's unity, is so stringent, is so severe, that it is more important than the very chemistry of life itself, than the very perpetuation of the life of the Jew. Indeed, as discussed at length in the previous chapters, this is one of the most unique, from Alter Rebbe's perspective, features that characterizes the Jew throughout history, that every Jew from all types and ranks and gradations and levels, men, women, and children, were ready to give up their life, not to engage in avodah zarah, in the denial of Hashem's unity. Versus all other averus don't have that same value, that same significance, apparently, to the extent that they are more important than life. So how can the Alter Rebbe come here and create a whole idea and a whole perspective and a whole system that equates in a very serious way the feature, the chemistry, the anatomy of every avodah zarah? So the Alter Rebbe explains, Hainu, this fact that saving a life overrides all other prohibitions is Kipirush Chazal, is to be understood not as we would understand it on the surface, that this underscores the inferiority of the importance and significance of Averis relative to life, and in distinguishing from Aveda Zara, which is so much more significant and important relative to life. No, we have to understand this principle based on the interpretation of our sages. In Mesichta Yumed Af Pehei Amid Beis, where the Gemara discusses the sources for the fact that a person is allowed to violate the Shabbos for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh, for the sake of saving a Jew's life. Shabbos is an important mitzvah, one of the greatest mitzvahs. Nevertheless, if what is at issue, if what is at stake is the life of another person, even if that's only a question, in other words, even al asafik, one is obligated to violate the Shabbos to save the Jew's life. So the Gemara discusses the sources for this. And then the Gemara explains, one of the sources, Reb Shimon ben Manasseh says, V'shamru b'nei Yisrael sa'Shabbos, Amra Torah, the Torah says, the Torah declares, Chale lalav Shabbos achas k'dei sheyishmer Shabbos esharbe. Desecrate one Shabbos for his sake, so that he may live to observe other Shabboses. In other words, the reason why you should desecrate the Shabbos is not because Shabbos is insignificant. Shabbos itself requires and demands that it should be desecrated for saving the life of the Jew, because by desecrating this Shabbos, the Jew will observe so many other Shabboses in his life because he will, thank God, be alive. Versus if we ignore his situation and so forth, this Shabbos won't be desecrated, but unfortunately he won't be able to observe and celebrate future Shabboses. So, v'loy mishum kalus ha'avedas v'chumra. It's not because of the relative leniency or gravity or seriousness of the sins such as idolatry that one is waived while the other is not. That is not the issue. All mitzvah, all avedas, says the Alter Rebbe, are a form of avedas zara. However, and therefore they all have that same feature that characterizes avedas zara. I'll ask a question. How is it that Pikuach Nefesh overrides these Averis, doesn't override Aveda Zara if they're similar? So the Alter Rebbe says the reason why Pikuach Nefesh overrides these mitzvahs, is not because they're less significant, it's not because they're less important than life. And Aveda Zara is more important than life, because they're all in essence Aveda Zara. It's because of the mitzvahs itself, it's because of the Averis itself. Chalil alav Shabbos achas. Shabbos itself wants that the Jew should be violate the Shabbos in order that Shabbos itself should be able to be celebrated. Which means, in other words, that the unity of Hashem, which is the essence of a mitzvah, the unity of Hashem should be introduced into the world in the future in a more powerful way, in a more passionate way, in a more celebrative way by this Jew. Teda. This contention, this interpretation, is supported by the following fact. Shari Shabbos chamuru shkula kavei dezara l'inyin shchitas mumra l'davar echad b'yaredei esimem beis. Masha einkin b'mumra l'gili arayis. The Alter Rebbe supports this contention by another halachic principle, another halach. In Yaredei and Simen Beis, the Shulchan Aruch discusses hilchus shchita, the laws of ritual slaughtering. The siman begins that the shchita of an akum is possible. The shchita of a non-Jew, the ritual slaughtering of a non-Jew, is not kosher. That meat, or whatever is slaughtered, is not kosher for Jewish consumption. And then there's the halacha discusses, Shulchan Aruch discusses, that's a Mishnah Masechta Chulin, which says that shchita is akum psula. Various Jews who find themselves in situations which deems or behave in certain ways which deem their shchit apostle like a guy. So for example, the Shulchan Aruch discusses there the concept of a mumar. There is a concept of a mumar l'davar echad and a mumar l'chol ha'teira kula. A mumar l'davar echad means a Jew who habitually violates a particular precept. In all other mitzvahs he's fine, in all other averis he's fine. But there's one thing, he's a mumar l'davar echad, and one thing, he never behaves like a Jew. This is his addiction, this is his issue. Concerning everything else, he's fine. Then there's a mumma l'chol ha-Torah kula, which means he totally disregards, he's apathetic to the entire Torah, and he habitually violates all of the precepts of the Torah. So that's a mumma l'chol ha-Torah kula, and there's a mumma l'davarech. In a mumma itself, there's a mumma l'teyavin and a mumma l'hachis. A mumma l'teyavin means someone who habitually violates whether one precept of the entire Torah because of his appetite. Which means because of his impulses, his lusts, his drives, he wants to enjoy life. That is by him what enjoyment of life is. He doesn't have anything against it philosophically, ideologically. He would do everything. He's just lazy. He doesn't care. A mumma l'hachis is, he does it aftzalachis. He does it to get God angry, to get the Jewish people angry. There is a philosophy, or at least a deep drive, not necessarily a philosophy, usually it's an emotion, but it's a deep drive that is fueling his violation of these precepts. So the halacha in Yerideya Siman Beis discusses, for example, the various conditions through which a mumra l'teyavin shchita is kasher, and where a mumra l'hachis is shchita is not kasher. Because a mumra l'hachis is much more stringent than a mumra l'teyavin, because a mumra l'teyavin doesn't have anything against it. The Chidushi Harim, one of the Gerer Rebbes, the Chidushi Harim, was once collecting money. And he went in for Pidyon Shvuyim, for redeeming Jews that were in captivity. And he once went into a home of a very wealthy Jew who lived in his vicinity, but wasn't an observant Jew. And the Jew was in the middle of lunch. And what was he eating for lunch? A huge ham sandwich. So the Chiddush Yerim turns to him and tells him in Yiddish, "Zum Appetit, you should have a hearty appetite." So he looks at him, he says, "Rebbe, do you know what I'm eating?" So the Chiddush Yerim says, "Because I know what you're eating, I'm wishing you a hearty appetite. I want you to be a mumma l'teyavin and not a mumma l'hachis. I want that you're eating, engaging in eating the ham, should be l'teyavin. Shouldn't be l'hachis, because it's good, it's delicious. You can't resist a good ham sandwich." In any case, Yerideya continues there concerning a mumma l'davarechad. A mumma l'chol ha-Torah kula, his shchita is possible just like a guy. What about a mumma l'davarechad? It's no problem. His shchita is kosher. Even if he habitually violates a precept, always, his shchita, his ritual slaughtering, is still kosher for Jewish consumption. Excluding two precepts. And that is Avodah Zarah and Shabbos. If he's a mumur la Avodah Zarah and nothing else, excluding everything else, his shchita is kishchitas akum. If he's a mumur of chilul Shabbos, he always violates the Shabbos, his shchita is possible. If he's a mumur la Gilui Arayis, for example, if he's a habitual offender of immoral, illicit relationships, adulterous relationships, then his shchita is kosher. Like being a mumra l'davar echad of all other avers. So the Alter Rebbe says, we see here that Shabbos is a grave offense, and it's comparable to idolatry in regarding to the law of shchita by anyone who habitually violates a particular precept. Whereas a habitual offender of arayas, of physical relationships, on the other hand, does not have the same law applied to him as an habitual idolater. Nevertheless, pikuach nefesh deiches Shabbos v'lo gili arayas. The consideration of life overrides Shabbos, it doesn't override gili arayas. For gili arayas, one has to give up his life, God forbid. For Shabbos, one should not give up his life. So how do we reconcile these two halachas? When it comes to life considerations, apparently Shabbos is so much more lenient. But if that is the case, that Gili Arayis is so much more severe, and so much more significant, and so much more powerful, and that's why it's more significant even than life, how is it that by Shchita, suddenly topsy-turvy? Shabbos over there becomes identical to Avodah Zarah, that if you desecrate the Shabbos, you're a mumur for Shabbos, which means it's not a one-time thing, it's a habitual thing. You're like a mumur of Avodah Zarah. Gili Arayis doesn't have the same quality. So the Alter Rebbe says, Ella, this brings us to conclude, this forces us to conclude, Gzeiras HaKosovu. It's simply a matter of scriptural decree. Scriptural, there's a Gzeiras HaKosovu that dictates that concerning situations of life and death,
Shabbos and many other Averis, all mitzvahs can be desecrated and violated. Versus Gilui Arayis, as well as Avodah Zarah and Shefichas Damim, not. If the Alter Rebbe says, you were wondering before, if the Alter Rebbe says Gzeiros HaKasuf, why does he initially present another answer? Initially he presented an answer, Chal Olav Shabbos Achas Kishishma Shabbos Harbe. That the reason why we can violate the Shabbos is because Shabbos itself demands and would like this violation. But then the Alter Rebbe includes Gzeiros HaKasuf, which means Gzeiros HaKasuf. There are various mitzvahs, commands in the Torah, which are Gzeiros HaKasuf. This is what Hashem wanted. So you can say, L'chatchil, it's Gzeiros HaKasuf, and that's it. There's no difference. And conversely, if he says, Chalava, Shabbos, Achad, Shish, Mishamas, Harbi, what do you need Gzeiros HaKasuf? He answered the question. So the explanation is, Chalul of Shabbos Achas De Shish Mishabbos Es Harbe doesn't suffice. Because you could say the same thing about Gilui Arayis. Chalul Gilui Arayis Achas, or whatever the term that has to be employed, so that he should be able to observe it during the future of his life. And you could say the same thing about Avodah Zarah. So he should be able to avoid Avodah Zarah. Deny God once, you should be able to affirm and declare and perpetuate His unity thousands and millions of times till your last breath. What does Chal of Shabbos Achas have to do? Chal of Shabbos Achas, you should live Kedei Sheishma Shabbos Asharbe. So L'cha'era, apparently, if that is the Cheshbon, that it's not because these mitzvahs are less significant, but rather the mitzvahs themselves want that they should be violated for their own sake, that they should be performed more times. You can make the same cheshbon concerning Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayis and so forth. So therefore, that explanation doesn't suffice. So after the Alter Rebbe brings the proof from Hilchos Shchitah Miridei Asim and Beis, he concludes ultimately it's Gzeiros HaKasuf. But he cannot only say that it's Gzeiros HaKasuf, because that wouldn't either suffice. Because the question is, what does it mean it's a Gzeiros HaKasuf? You could say, for example, that the Gzeiros HaKasuf is that notwithstanding the fact that logically there is no distinction between mitzvahs, there is a Gzeiros HaKasuf that there is a distinction between mitzvahs. That Avodah Zarah is superior to Shabbos. That Shabbos is less significant than Avodah Zarah. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe said, and that's why Avodah Zarah takes precedence over one's life, and Shabbos doesn't take precedence over one's life. So the Alter Rebbe explains, no, life doesn't take precedence over Shabbos. Shabbos takes precedence over Shabbos. So what's the Gzeiros HaKasuf? The Gzeiros HaKasuf is that itself. That by Shabbos we say that Shabbos takes precedence over Shabbos. By Gilui Arayis we don't say that Gilui Arayis takes precedence over Gilui Arayis. Then the Gzeiros HaKasuf is not that Hashem wants that in one mitzvah life should be more important. In another mitzvah life should be less important. The Alter Rebbe says, no, they're all a form of Avodah Zarah. Why can you violate Shabbos? Because Shabbos demands it. Why by Gilui Arayis not? That's Gzeiros HaKasuf. That concerning Shabbos we say that Shabbos wins and the eternity of Shabbos triumphs. And concerning Gilui Arayis we say the temporary distortion of Gilui Arayis triumphs over the future Shmira and observance of Gilui Arayis. What is the proof of this? How can you establish such an axiom? The proof is from Hilchos Shchitah. And this reconciliation between the two brings the Alter Rebbe to conclude that they are identical, essentially. Verstehst? And now he continues. Now another issue must be addressed. You brought this up last week, and I said that he discusses it at the conclusion of the chapter. Based on this perspective, which has been developed from chapter 20 through chapter 24, all mitzvahs are identical, all haveris are identical. Nothing is made mention about the various averis, the reasons for mitzvahs, the reasons for averis, the quality of every mitzvah, the beauty that every mitzvah introduces into the Jew's life, the coarseness that every averid introduces in one's life. Over here, there's an unequivocal, absolute statement which brings all mitzvahs, all averis under the same roof. All mitzvahs, no matter what, is an affirmation of reality. All averis, no matter what, are a disruption, a distortion of reality. Now the Alter Rebbe will address the other element. Ella, however, something additional to this must be understood. After this sinful act, if the sin is of the type that carries neither the penalty of karis, which is the spiritual extinction of the soul, or misa b'dei shamayim, the death at the hands of heaven, she'einav she'ha likis meisa legamri, in which case the divine soul does not completely perish and is not entirely cut off from its source in the living God. It's just that through this sin, its attachment to its source and its connection with it has been weakened somewhat. So if it's an aveira that doesn't have the components of karis and misabedei shamayim, which cuts the divine soul off totally from its source, rather it's another aveira. So the Alter Rebbe says, then harigam nafshi hachiyunis hamahabahamis hamalubeshes beguf. So even his, the sinner's, animal soul, which animates the body and is clothed in it, v'chein gufa, as well as his body itself, chayzrim va'ayli mehasitra achero klipazu, return and rise from the sitra achera and this klipa, umiskar vim l'kdushas nefesh ha'likis amalu bashas bam, and they draw closer to the holiness of the divine soul that pervades them, hama'amino b'Hashem echad, which always believes in the unity of Hashem, in the one God, v'gam b'shas hachet ha'isa ba'amno ita yisbarach, to the extent that even during the sin, the divine soul remained faithful to him, remained ba'amna ita. Notwithstanding what has been explained above, there is another dynamic with which we have to understand, which does create distinctions between mitzvahs in the positive sense and between averis in the negative sense. And how the two ideas will be reconciled, we'll discuss in a few moments. But let's first discuss the element of the distinctions. The most basic distinctions from the mystical perspective are between the averis that entail, that carry a penalty of karis and misa, a death penalty, God forbid, or averis that don't carry that penalty. There are many averis that do not carry any death penalty. Even in the time when Jewish courts reigned and so forth, there were various punishments, whether it's monetary punishments or other types, offerings and so forth. All averis need tshuva, need repentance. But in the penalties, there are various differences. And then there are averis that entail and receive the death penalty. And two of them are karis and misabedei shamayim. They're the death penalty that was administered and carried out by the Jewish Supreme Court. For example, for murder, or for adultery, for idolatry, and so forth. And then there is karis and misabedei shamayim. Karis is the spiritual extinction of the soul. Misabedei shamayim is also death in the hands of heaven. The difference between them is usually explained as, in one, the human being perished prior to the age of 60, with the other one prior to the age of 50. The question is asked in Igeres HaTshuva in the third section of Tanya. What happened in the present day and age? The Rebbe says there are so many people who engaged in Isurim and prohibitions that carry the penalty of Karis and Misa B'dei Shamayim, V'erichu Yimeyim U'Shneiseyim B'Toivu B'Neimim, and they enjoy, he says, longevity. The Alter Rebbe explains there a very interesting concept. The Pasuk says, Yaakov kichelek Hashem ama Yaakov chevel nachalasa. The nation of Israel is a part of Hashem. Jacob is the rope of his inheritance. What is the metaphor of a rope? It says the connection between the soul and its source, and Hashem, is via metaphysical, a conceptual rope that consists of 613 threads, shtriklach, strands. If you want to use a more modern-day metaphor, you could say there is an electrical connection between the neshama and Hashem, between the divine soul and Hashem, via 613 wires that communicate the current and the energy from the Godhead, from the source, to the respective soul that abides within the body of every single Jew. An Aveira cuts and disrupts one strand, one wire, and thus weakens the connection, weakens the bond, the relationship. Many Aveiras cut more wires. Then there are those unique Aveiras of Karis and Misa B'dei Shemayim that create a total severing. What Alter Rebbe says here, Mesa Legamri V'Nechneses M'Sharsha. They have such an impact that they desensitize the soul from its source. They disconnect the flow of energy, the flow of vitality and animation. So automatically, the human being doesn't receive life. And as a result of that, there was Karis and Misa B'dei Shemayim. So we see again, it's not the punishment as a superimposed issue. It's a natural outcome, effect of the nature of the sin. Says the Alter Rebbe, this was true in Zman HaBayis. What happened in the time of exile, the divine energy was displaced. Galus means displacement. And it's channeled through the elements of Klipa. So this is the tragedy of Galus. It's the blessing and the tragedy of Galus. That the soul could continue to receive energy from a place that's totally alien from it, and therefore can engage in Karis, and will nevertheless, the Sitra Achira will say, good, now I'll give you the energy. In Zman HaBayis, that ambiguity, that disruption of nature would not happen. Even in Zman HaBayis, however, it could take 60 or 50 years, because even when all the strands were cut off, there was still the, Alter Rebbe says, the roishim, the impact of the previous energy that still sustains and animates its soul. It lives off previous energy. But there's no new flow. There's no new flow of energy. Huh? For example, in Mitzvah's essay, there's two Mitzvah's essay. It's usually all negative prohibitions. All negative prohibitions. There's two Mitzvah's essay, huh? Two Mitzvah's essay, positive commandments, which also have this penalty, and they're unique. That's, for example, Karban Pesach and Milah. Circumcision and Karban Pesach. And then there are many other, many of the Loisasa. A lot of them that have the death penalty, if there would have been witnesses, so there would have been a death penalty carried out through the court, through the Beis Din at certain times, if there's no witnesses and so forth, so it's between man and God, they carry the penalty of Karis. So the Alter Rebbe says that after the Maisachet, if it's from the Aveiros that don't carry the penalty of Karis and Misa B'dei Shemayim, so the Nefesh Halikis did not completely perish, so to speak. It wasn't entirely cut off from its source. Rather, it was an Aveira through which somewhat of the attachment was weakened. So then after the Aveira, naturally, the animal soul and the body return and become close again to the divine soul that's abiding within them. By Karis and Misa B'dei Shemayim, the divine soul itself has to be revived, because it was cut off from its source. But by these Averis, where the divine soul is still consciously active, so after the sin, they come close again to that sacredness and that holiness. We will explain that a little clearer in a few moments. But let's learn the Haggah, the note. The note on the side. When the Alter Rebbe discusses the various sins, where through one sin, the divine soul is totally cut off from its source. On the other sin, Nivgam Ktsazdve Kusa, somewhat of its connection to its source has been weakened. So the Alter Rebbe says, Ulefi Erech V'chiluke P'chinas Habgam B'nefesh. Corresponding to the extent and specific nature of the blemish caused by the sin in the soul and in its source in the supernal worlds,